over the last 2,000 years. Many leaders, gurus, and prophets have come and gone. Countless have been forgotten and even erased from history. As time proved their messages and teachings to be short-lived and empty. A handful of them had enough staying power to still be relevant in our culture today. And now, we call them religions. All these heavyweights included Jesus in their religious teachings and claim him as a centerpiece of what they believe. What happens when they go toe-to-toe with the teachings of Jesus himself? Who will be left standing when the final bell rings?
As we go through this series, one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to really kind of do what I like to call primary sourcing. I don't know if you've had any journalism classes or you had to write anything, any college papers or anything like that. They would always say, you know, you need X amount of primary sources. So primary sources are going back to the people that witnessed it or saw it, right? Going back to the people that were there as a part of the event. A primary source today would be like in a trial, where you would say, okay, we're going to bring these witnesses who literally were there. They were on site. They saw what happened. They would be a primary source. If they were to write down their testimony would be a primary source. And so as we look at this, we're going to look at really the primary sources for each of these teachings. The primary source for, obviously, Christianity is the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament together. Those two pieces working together as a whole to teach the understanding of how God intervenes, how God works in, how God works through humanity and has since the beginning of creation, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Then as we look at some of these other religions, we're going to look at their primary source, what they are saying as their source of it. For Islam, it's the Quran, written by Muhammad as he received this revelation, if you will, from an angel. And so he wrote those things down. As we move forward, as we look at Catholicism, the primary source for the Catholic Church, they say it's the Bible, but then they also say the Pope is the vicar of Christ, that his words and his teachings are as infallible as the teachings of the Word of God. And then we fast forward to our fourth week, we're going to talk about Mormonism. And what is that? Well, it's the Book of Mormon is what's written of that. And then finally, Jesus versus me. You know, we all like to kind of come up with our own ideas of how we're supposed to live and what we're supposed to do and how our religion is supposed to look. And so we're going to look at that compared to Jesus Christ. And so as we look at that, I think it's really important. All three of the primary religions that we're looking at all point to the Bible, and they say, as we would say, it is a reliable source. It is a primary source. In fact, today as we look at the teachings of Islam, Islam would say that the Bible actually points to what we teach. The Bible actually does this, and you can trust Jesus Christ. You can trust the teachings and the words of Jesus Christ. He is a great prophet. He teaches, and what he says is true, and so therefore you should really listen to him. So we're going to go through that this morning. We're going to look at that. So what I always like to give a big idea, okay? Something that if you miss everything else, at least you'll be able to kind of put your hat on this, hang your hat on, and go, man, okay, this makes sense. So we try to make it really short, but enough for you to kind of grasp. And so here is the big idea for today about Jesus versus Muhammad. Islam teaches that Jesus is important. It does. I'm not going to make any bones about it. I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to build a straw man and then beat him up or anything like that. We're just going to say what the truth is. Islam teaches that Jesus is important. He is a great prophet. He is a great teacher. He is a great man. All of those things they teach. However, they do also say that he is not essential to knowing God. Islam teaches that Jesus is important, but he's not essential to knowing God. You can come to Allah, if you will, without Jesus Christ, without having to pay attention to him. You can come to God, Allah, if you will, without having known anything about Jesus Christ. He is important, and once you become, you should really understand and study his teachings. However, he's not essential. He is not necessary when it comes to knowing God. So here's what I want to do is I want to walk through just a couple things where Islam says and then say, but Jesus teaches this. And we're going to, again, primary source it all the way through, okay? So let's begin with this. Islam says that Jesus was just a prophet. Islam says that Jesus was just a prophet. A prophet is someone that that teaches and speaks, but then they give it a little bit more, if you will, emphasis or power or authority behind it because they're saying his message comes from God. So Islam teaches that Jesus and his words come from God, that they stand the test, if you will, that they are divinely inspired words that he is preaching. And so Islam says, listen, he is a great teacher, he is a great prophet, but he's not essential in coming to know God. So Islam says that Jesus was just a prophet, but Jesus says, I am the Son of God. Jesus says, I am the Son of God. I'm not just a prophet. I'm not just a great teacher. I'm not just a good man. I am literally the Son of God. That is who I am. So let's look at this really quickly. The first thing, just to kind of source our understanding of what it means when they say that Jesus was just a prophet, and we go to a book. It's the foremost book, if you will, about the teachings of Islam, and it's literally called Questions for or About Islam. And it says this, and it quotes this, is Jesus Christ was one of the prophets. We believe that he was a human being, not God, nor the Son of God. He was just a human being and a messenger of God. Now, that's pretty clear, isn't it? Everyone would go like, oh, okay, that makes sense. So, like, well, I'm not going to say anything. but that's clear, right? That's very simple. That's very concise. They say, listen, he's a great prophet, he's a great teacher, he's a messenger of God. What he says is divinely inspired. However, he is neither God nor is he Son of God. John 17, verses 1 through 5. After saying these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, now, again, remember, Islam teaches he's a great prophet, right? Prophet means that his words are divinely inspired by God, correct? So, we should listen to what Jesus says. And Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, well, that's interesting. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your what? Glorify your Son so that he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given to him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. He doesn't go, this is the way that you know God, point, point, point. He goes, you need to know God and you need to know me, the one that you sent to earth, and I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory that we shared before the world even began. Now, we don't have time to unpack this whole verse, but let me just kind of hit the highlights real quick. First of all, he begins by talking to God, and he does not say God, he says Father. There is a different relationship between Jesus Christ and God than there is between the average person on this earth. You go, well, that's okay because he's a prophet. Okay, if he's a prophet, his words are divinely inspired. He then, in his prayer publicly before everyone, said, okay, God, you understand that I am your son. You have sent me here for the purpose of dying and giving eternal life to everyone that you have given me. And then now, God, as I have finished this, Father, now take me back to heaven so that we can share in the glory that we both shared before the creation of the world, therefore stating that not only is he, Jesus, a great prophet and teacher, but he is the Son of God, he is God in the flesh, and he is preexistent to all creation. Therefore, he is not a created being, but he is actually God. Now, again, Islam teaches he's a great prophet. Prophets' words are divinely inspired. Therefore, the teaching of Islam literally contradicts the words of Jesus Christ. You go, well, how do we know these words of Jesus Christ are accurate? Well, it's the same way that we would do anything else. It's a primary source. The primary source is a guy named John, who happened to be Jesus Christ's best friend. And he wrote actually four books. He wrote the book of John. He's really divinely inspired with how he came up with the names of his books. It's John, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. So he really got creative with that. But actually, he didn't name it all. We did. But anyways, so as he writes these, he's like, listen, look, I was right there. I stood right there. This is what he said. That directly contradicts Islam teaching that he was just a prophet, just a human being, but he was a good dude. Jesus says, no, I'm the Son of God. Now, here's the thing. He cannot be a prophet speaking the divinely inspired words of God. He cannot be a great teacher, and he is certainly not a good dude if he teaches lies. If he pumps himself up for the purpose of getting followers and then allowing those followers later on to die for a lie. He can't be both. So he is either what he says he is or he is nothing. We continue because it's really important as we look at those things to continue to kind of look at what it says. And Islam says that he is not co-equal with God. Islam would teach, and there's some sects of Islam that'll say, well, you know, he really was an amazing human being. I mean, he was greater than most human beings. In fact, the only human being who maybe surpasses him is Muhammad, because he is the final and the greatest prophet of Allah. And so they would say, man, he's unbelievable, he's awesome, but he's not God. But Jesus says, we are one. Not only does Jesus say, I am the Son of God, right? And say that, hey, I shared in the glory before creation, therefore I'm not a created being. But he like goes all in on this whole thing of him being like God. And he literally says, not only am I the Son, but we are the same. We are one. The Quran says this in Al-Ma'idah 116 and 17. And to preface it, we don't have time to put it all on there. But essentially what happens is that the Muhammad is writing, and he says, listen, this is what happens when Jesus comes back to heaven, right? And he stands before God, and God goes, listen, I'm hearing rumors, essentially, that while you were on earth, you called yourself the Son of God, that you called yourself equal with me, that you took on, by your own power, divinity. Is that true? Literally, that's what this conversation is. And so Jesus, I love this. Jesus will say, glory be to you. It was not for me to say what I had no right to say. What was I thinking? Had I said such a thing, you surely would have known it. In other words, Muhammad writes down, he says, listen, God confronts Jesus. He's like, what you talking about? Did you say that? He's like, no, I didn't say that. What are you thinking? If I'd have said that, you'd have known, because you are God. Glory to you, God. Okay. John 5:18. So the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him. Now, this is interesting. That's a beginning sentence that grabs your attention. Why in the world are they trying to kill Jesus if he's a good teacher, if he's a good guy, if he's a good prophet? Why in the world would they want to kill him? Well, here's why. For he not only broke the Sabbath, because he was doing something on the Sabbath, the day of holy rest, but he called God his Father. And then the writer John goes, just so you guys who aren't Jewish know what that means, thereby making himself what? Equal with God. He literally in his teaching said, listen, God and I, God the Father and I, we are the same. We are co-equal in power. I surrender, I submit to his authority as the rightful God, part of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but I am co-equal with God. And they're like, well, we can't have that. We got to kill him. And just in case you go, well, maybe there was a misunderstanding there. I mean, the religious leaders of that day, clearly, as we read the New Testament, weren't all that right. And they really had it out for Jesus. So, well, let's look at John chapter 10, verses 30 through 33. Jesus begins with a very clear and really difficult to understand statement when he says, the Father and I are one. He's like, so just in case you missed it, just in case you really didn't think that I was saying that, let me just reiterate it. The Father and I are one. And the people responded the same way. Once again, the people picked up stones to kill him. This is a rough thing, he says, okay? And Jesus said, at my Father's direction, I have done many good works, So for which one are you going to stone me? Listen, I've raised people from the dead. I've healed the blind. I've made the cripple walk again. I've showed you, I've illuminated the scriptures as I've taught those things. Which one of those things exactly is it that you're wanting to kill me for? And they're like, we are not stoning you for any good work, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. You see, here's the thing. We can pretend and we can argue and we can philosophize. I'm not sure if that's a word or not. We're going to make one today. And we can talk about all these things and we can like, oh, well, this is that. But if we go to the primary sources say that Jesus Christ himself made it very clear that not only was he the Son of God, but he was co-equal with God. And the Quran itself teaches the exact opposite. In fact, so much so that it says that Jesus apologizes to God for the fact that some people thought that. They're very contradictory. They don't mesh. Here's the next one that I think is probably the most profound. Islam says that he, Jesus, didn't die on the cross. Islam teaches that Jesus did not die on a cross. In fact, it teaches that he didn't die at all. However, Jesus Christ says, I died for all mankind. Not only did I die on a cross, but the intentionality, the purpose, the point behind it was so that all mankind could be redeemed. The Quran says this in Al-Nisa 157, talking about Jesus. It says, but they killed him not. In other words, they did not kill him. I know you think that they killed him, but they did not kill him, nor crucified him, but it simply appeared that way to them. The Quran teaches that basically God tricked all of Jerusalem into believing that they crucified Jesus, but that Jesus was able to slip away. So he didn't die. He didn't die on the cross, and he certainly didn't die for all mankind, because he was just a prophet, just a good teacher. And he's not even necessary to understand who God is. Luke chapter 9, verses 22 through 24, Jesus Christ is talking, referring to himself. He says, the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things. He will be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the religious law. He will be killed. But on the third day, he will be raised from the dead. Jesus is talking about what was going to happen just in a few short days. And he said, listen, I want you guys to fully understand what is about to take place. I am going to be killed, but I'm not going to be killed, and I'm not going to be dead forever. Because the purpose of my death is to redeem all mankind. And when I raise again, I will also conquer death, not just sin. In 1 John 2, verse 2, again, the writer of John says this, he died in our place to take away our sins. And not only our sins, but the sins of all people. It doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. Jesus died for you. He doesn't care about your religious background, whether you're Muslim or Hindu or Catholic or Protestant, even Baptists. He died for them too. I grew up Baptist, so just, it's okay. He's like, listen, he died for all mankind. Religiosity and the religion and all those things, that doesn't matter. What matters is what you do with Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if you're white or black or gray or purple or green or even clear. He died for you. The Bible teaches that he died even for Patriot fans and cat lovers. I'm telling you, it's in there. He died for everyone. Why? Why would Jesus, and let's say Jesus is telling the truth, that he is not only the Son of God, but co-equal with God, that he took on humanity for the purpose of pointing us to God so we would know what it means to be able to be a follower of God, and then also revealing to us that outside of perfection and outside of us being able to pay for all of our sins, we'd never be able to follow God, and that is why he really came to be able to die on a cross for your sins and my sins to pay the penalty. So now not only do we know the way, but we can actually follow the way through Jesus Christ. Why would he do that? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. In fact, Jesus Christ himself speaks in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." Islam teaches that God is angry with you. That God is disappointed with you. That the only way that you can get him to stop being mad at you is if you submit and obey. Yet Jesus Christ in John 3:16 says that God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son so that whoever does exactly what he's told, obeys every word, follows every rule, doesn't say that, does it? Who believes in him may not be lost, but have eternal life. Whereas Islam teaches that the only way to escape the anger and the wrath of Allah is to submit and obey. Jesus says, actually, I loved you before you even had the opportunity to disobey. I loved you before your parents had the opportunity to disobey. I loved you before I spoke the words, "Let there be light." I love you not because of your condition, but because of my character. I love you not because of your behavior, but because of who I am. God's love for you goes beyond and transcends and overpowers anything that you've done, could do, may do, are thinking about doing, or will do some point in time in the future. Islam says that Jesus Christ is just a prophet. Jesus says, "I'm the Son of God." You've been given the primary sources. You see what is being said from both people who would say that. And you hear the words of Jesus Christ recorded by his best friend in the words of the Bible. And by the way, John, who was the best friend of Jesus Christ and who wrote these words, also suffered greatly for Christ, which, by the way, makes no sense if he knew it was a lie. And so the truth is, if we're to look at it, there is no way that Islam and followers of Jesus Christ can believe the same thing or get to the same point. Because where Islam says, hey, if you obey, God will grant you a pardon from your sin, Jesus says, only through me can you receive forgiveness of sin. And it's not because of what you do, it's because of what I've already done. So this morning, my challenge to you is, if you've never taken that step of faith, if you've never actually said yes to Jesus Christ, today would be the day. There's not like a blue light special, it's just, today is always the day. When it finally clicks in your head, when the Holy Spirit finally gets through all of your reservations and your reasons for not and your hesitations, and it finally clicks in your head, that's the moment. And hopefully today, that moment just happened. The Bible teaches that if you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid for your sins, that he was the Son of God and co-equal with God, that you can be saved. And so here, just in the quietness of this moment, I'd like to ask you, if you would, to bow your heads and to close your eyes. And today, if you made that decision in your heart, if you know that there was a change that's been taking place in you, this morning I'd like to invite you to pray a simple prayer with me. The words of the prayer aren't what matters. What matters is the motivation and the heart behind it. And so if you're here this morning, you're like, man, I'm ready to do that. I'd like to invite you to pray with me in your heart, in your mind, just sitting right where you are, something like this to God. Dear God, I believe in Jesus Christ. I know he was more than just a prophet. He was the Son of God, God in the flesh. I believe he died for my sin. And now I choose to follow him. Father, for every man and woman that's here this morning, I pray that you would, for those that just prayed that prayer or something like that in their mind and talking to you, God, I pray that you would just fill them with unbelievable excitement and joy for the next step of the journey that you have for them. God, this world loves to teach us things that contradict the teaching of your word. They love to teach us things that try to muddy the waters and make it sound really similar, but the reality is, God, it's crystal clear. There is only one way. There was only one path, and that's through Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that this morning, all over this room, whether those that have accepted Jesus Christ or those who have been followers of Jesus Christ for a long time, that joy and that passion for following you would just be renewed. Now, Father, we thank you for this, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.